Good morning and welcome to Project Joy, our weekly radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning.
It worked again.
And isn't it a thrill?
It is, and I'm just receiving messages from all our test participants that the phone line issue is also not a problem anymore. So apparently three people who are testing the phones have reported that it works.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah.
We
get so so accustomed to things well working, or we fall into an expectation that they will work. And what's working here is just, if we step back from it, is so completely extraordinary. It's just a miracle that it exists at all. And then we start tapping our little feet because it's not working perfectly right now. Just good to see how we are.
Good to see. Well, so what we're going to do first is to open the lines for people to talk about their process from yesterday's assignment, which was how we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. This refers to process, not content. It's not a matter of what we do, it's how we are as we do what we do. Today, spend some time being how you want your life to be. Begin the day with a recording about how you choose to live your life in love, with compassion, being kind, feeling reverence, and then practice living it. And so here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Laura in San Diego.
Hey, Laura.
Hi. This is just, it was really beautiful yesterday. So what I got to when I was making the recording was, I was following the prompts of the homework or the suggestion. And then what I got to was the only way to experience that is to be out of conversation, drop the conversation. I really practiced yesterday sitting, just really watching any hint of conversation, because I was having this experience that when there's joy or gratitude or love or just lit up, or there isn't a conversation. It's sensations of just wholeness. But when there's a conversation, there's generally some other, right? I'm not here. So I'm not experiencing what's available.
Exactly so. Perfectly, beautifully articulated. That's what we're going for. It, even though it's not dualistic, it is either or. Right? It's actually not a duality. And it is the case because we can only attend to one thing at a time. All of our ideas about multitasking aside, attention can only be on one thing at a time. And so what you describe is when you're here, when you're present, when you're experiencing what happens with a human being in presence, there is no conversation. And when we are in that conversation, there is no presence, even though a voice in the head might be saying, well, yeah, of course you're present. I mean, you can see those trees and you can.
And it's the fun piece around it is that I'm playing with is, I'm really tackling some content in my life that I've just never tackled before. And the conversation wants to say, this is hard. This is, whatever. And once I get out of that, that's not my actual experience. My actual experience is, if I were to put words to it, is exciting, not nervous in a bad way, but like, ooh, I wonder what it'll be like. There's like a joyful anticipation.
Mm-hmm. Excitement, yes. Excitement, yeah, anticipation.
I didn't know. All of that. And if I'm not needing to put words to it, it's just really it's energy.
Yes. On the kickoff, we were talking about, oh, there's that puppy. We were talking about that percolator, you know, the percolator of joy. So when you're out of the conversation and you're just here, you can just feel that energy bubbling up when you turn your attention to sort of the center of your body, right? It comes right up from the heart and right through the heart and boop, 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 boop. You can just feel, Ashwini was talking about the pulse, the throb of life,
yep,
right? And that's what it feels like. Now, Laura, the tricky part about that for anybody who is not right there having that experience in a way that they can recognize, what happens to people in the conditioned process that we've all been subjected to, that of energy gets called nervous, gets labeled nervous, anxiety, right? Slide over into fear. If we go into the conversation, so there's a, if I go into a conversation in conditioned mind, I'm going to get a story about how I'm nervous and this is scary and there's probably something wrong, and I'm launched into a karmic orientation to life. But if I just stay with the sensations, then I realize, ooh, this is thrilling. I'm really alive. This is what it feels like to be alive. And the saddest thing is that what it feels like to be a human being present and alive has gotten labeled anxiety, and people are medicated not to have the experience.
Yes. And this is a new experience for me. I feel like this is, To have the experience on this level feels really like, it's exciting, but it definitely feels new.
Yes, well, it's new for you as an adult.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I happen to know you have kids. You can watch it in them, although when yes. we're in a conditioned place and we're with kids who are having that experience, we're conditioned to say, would you calm down? Would you just please calm down, right? Because they're just jumping off the walls, and because they're so lit up, they have so much energy, right? And you can watch it in that little person who's barking in the background, right?
Yeah.
Just whoop, 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 whoop. You know, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive,
yeah.
And that's where we can live, and blessedly we can bring a in quotes grown up conscious awareness to it so that we're able to be appropriate. And in practice, as you know, what we talk about, how we describe this experience is you just twinkle.
Mm. Yep.
Right? You're just sitting there with that or standing or walking or running or whatever you're and running or walking something that dancing that uses
yeah.
all that energy in a physical way that benefits the human being, the body, is a wonderful thing to do. But as you're doing that, you're just emanating the good energy that you can feel animating you.
Yep. Yeah. And it what I get out of it is the adequacy that's available to be with whatever content is in my life.
Yes. That's right. Because you know what you have proved to yourself is that every time you face something in your life that has been taking that life force from you, okay, which is what happens when we go into a conditioned place, the attention goes to that karmic orientation, the energy is leached out of us. So every time you go up against one of those and you don't indulge it, you let it, you face it, you let it go, you work through it, you get to the other side, then more energy is available to you. More energy is available. Pretty soon, at least this was my experience when I caught on to that letting go releases energy, I just started looking for things to let go. Right? Because you can feel the difference when you're holding on. Right? You're not lit up. You're not happy. You don't have a lot of energy. Okay, then where is it going? All right, I'm ready to let go of that. Because I know what the alternative is.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, deep gratitude for all of the practice and for showing up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. You know, Sherry, it's so, I hope everyone listening to the call was in the video workshop, because there's such a wonderful framework to talk about this that we introduced in the workshop, right? That the bliss, the joy of existence is that bubbling kernel that we are, that bubbling joy that's in every one of us, and that comes out in the dogs barking or the kids' energy or our intensity of being alive. And it's only that mental sheep, that conditioned perspective, that has interpreted the quality of being alive to be something to be anxious about. And as you're talking about it, it's the metaphoric letting go of the mental sheath perspective that allows us to move from being anxiety and survival oriented to bliss and wisdom oriented. And that's the focus of Project Joy, right? Shift the perspective from the mental sheath to the wisdom sheath. And then life is experienced in such a different way. And it goes back to the quote and the exercise. How do you want how you spend your day is how you spend your life. And so if we live from the bliss sheath, that's our experience. If we live from the mental sheath, that's our experience. And if we live from moving from the mental sheath to the bliss sheath or the wisdom sheath, then that is our experience of life. It's the transformation of intelligence knowing itself. It's so exquisite.
Yeah, because life doesn't change. Right? Our life circumstances aren't different. On the open air on Tuesday night, Pasha was speaking so beautifully of this. You know, our life circumstances don't change. You know, cars still will break down, or kids will disappoint us, or, you know, we won't have as much money as we would like. Whatever is going on, all that will still be the same. But how we are with it will be completely different. And the thing what you just said that I think is a really important one for us to really take in is where we're practicing, where all the folks on this call are practicing, is in that very tricky, very subtle place of the difference between the mental sheath and the wisdom sheath. Right? Because the wisdom often shows up as information that can look, sound, feel a lot like the information that comes from the mental sheath. It's just that the mental sheath is of ego, karmic conditioning, and the wisdom sheath is of the intelligence that animates. So it's very, very subtle place.
Yes, and all that's available is it's not, as you said, that anything changes. It's just the ability to see it from a larger perspective is available to everybody.
Yes.
Non-suffering perspective. Yeah.
Yes, to everybody. And that's another one, right, that people get hung up with. Yeah, but if you're, so I struggle with my problems, but what if I had real problems? I mean, what if I didn't have enough to eat? What if I... You know, somebody was talking about the bombs dropping. What about the... No. Everybody, this is a non-separate reality. We all have the same abilities, the same opportunities. And if it weren't the case, as I'm fond of pointing out, all of us would have been living in bliss forever, right? Because we haven't had bombs dropping on us. And for the most part, we do have plenty to eat and a roof over our heads and that sort of thing. So that argument is completely false, but one that ego is happy to put forth, right? So we don't want to fall for that one.
Okay, let's hear from one more person on this subject. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Julianne.
Hi, Julianne.
Hi, Julianne.
Hello. Sort of dropped in a lot of things were equanimity, rephrasing the question, how we spend our moments is, of course, how we spend our days, mm-hmm. and sort of this loss of time, the experience of infinity,
mm-hmm.
How spacious it is to
mm-hmm.
just, and in, I guess, more concrete terms, being in that space of awareness, how efficient it is, how easy it is,
mm-hmm.
how there is no effort.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. this is kind of a funny thing that came in, which was sort of the Zen paradox that we talk about, which I know we always, very rightly so, we talk about. Well, we say it's not what but how, but it occurred to me it's also not how but what, because ego will tell me you've got to do this right, you've got to do it well,
mm-hmm.
it's got to be up to mm-hmm. a certain standard.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if I just mm-hmm. show up, life takes care of it all. And so
yes.
it doesn't really matter.
Yes.
You know, I don't
yes. Yeah, you can't make a mistake, right?
Right.
In the
yeah.
eternal now, it,
yeah.
it is
yeah.
obvious that it is not possible to make a mistake.
Absolutely, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and
really...
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to underline what you said there, that ego is always about content.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to do something, that's what's important, the thing that you are going to do. And then what's important is it turns the process into a content by saying
yeah.
it needs to be done to this standard. It needs to have this result, this outcome. So all of process in ego gets translated into content. Which
yeah.
points so clearly to why we don't want to live there.
Right. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
so it's like that context. It takes a process and puts it into its context.
Yes, yes. Which is not the eternal now moment,
yeah.
right? But
yeah.
a very separate, small, divided, only this, taking separation, right? Taking this out of life, putting it over here to the side, and making this what we're meant to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's sleight of hand, isn't it? It's a,
yeah.
it's a, yeah, it's, that's why that con artist in The Big Bamboozle, to me, is such a great image for it, because it's all smoke and mirrors. It's sleight of hand. And if we're not paying close attention, it seems all very logical and reasonable and actually kind of what our experience is. No surprise. We are conditioned to be in that experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it. Thank
Was
you.
There more?
I don't think so. No, that's all.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. That's
right.
That's very fun to see that. I love it. In all these conversations, I love it that people just bring in a little bit different angle for us to see it from. A little, you know, each one of us has our own unique view. And even though we're all looking at the same thing or engaged in the same process, how it comes through the unique expression of life that each one of us is illuminates what it is that we're looking at in a very helpful way. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Julianne. You know, Sherry, it's wonderful for someone to say, no, that's all, and it's such a big all.
Right? That's an all in capital letters. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I might squeeze in one more caller for yesterday's assignment before we move
Lovely.
On. So let's see.
Good. Thank
Next
you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me? Hi, can you hear
yeah.
me? Oh,
yes.
Hi, this is Hi, this is Carol from San Francisco.
Hey, Carol.
Hey, I just want to thank you so much for this and everything that's gone on this year. I just feel like I'm on the express bus and things are happening fast. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah.
That's where we want to be, right? When we say yes, things really start happening fast.
That's what it feels like. It felt like just get into the river. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps coming to me. Just get in the river. Don't stand by the side and analyze and just see where the river is going to take you. And so it's very exciting.
Jump in and start paddling with the current.
Right, with the current.
Right, yeah.
Well, I have a question, actually, but I'll also comment real quick about yesterday's assignment when Ashwini said, some people have never had the experience of being with the how versus the what. I decided that I'm going to have that experience yesterday, and it turned out to be a day that could have been called a crisis. And I along the way, had so many opportunities to practice just being with, oh, okay, this is awfully busy. Huh, well, this must be what's being delivered because I'm choosing to believe that life is for me, so, and not just some of the time and with punishment after, but that life is actually for me. So there's this event and now this one, and I had the temptation to fall into, well, this is wrong, this is too much, I can't keep up, I'm overwhelmed, but I just kept remembering, nope, this is my intention to be with how versus what today, and so I get to see what life is delivering and all of these interesting things. And I won't have this done by the end of the day, but I'll be with what's being delivered today. So that was,
You gave me chills. You gave me chills on that one. And let me ask you this. How did that feel? How was that for you? The difference.
It felt like a totally new experience. There just wasn't the interpretation on it. And it felt like, you know, a film camera that racks focus, where you're right on this focus and then you rack and you're on something else right away with nothing in between. And you're, oh, wait, no, I'm seeing this now. And with that new focus, there wasn't the story.
Yes. And so what you're describing for us is how suffering ends.
Yeah.
That's what you're describing. Because when we are with life unfolding in each moment and there is no story being told, you're just alive in life, moment by moment by moment. And this is the one where people, you know, want to reach out and strangle me. But it doesn't matter what the circumstances are when we are present to life unfolding without a conversation, without being identified with a separate self who has an opinion about it. It doesn't matter what's happening. Our experience is one of presence and receiving the gift of life.
Yeah, it feels like there's this huge stretch happening on one hand, like, oh, this is so different, and there's such a pull to go back to the other thing. But on the other hand, there's no effort at all at the same time.
Yes, it's a huge effort for ego to be ignored. It's having a miserable time over there. But you, the human being, you're not having a miserable time at all, quite the opposite. And you know, this, what you're describing is where heroes come from. Because when we look at a hero, and it can be anybody. It's the person who runs into a burning building to save a child, or it's Sully, you know, landing that plane in the middle of the river, or it's whatever it is. When we hear a story of somebody and we think, wow, you know, I don't think I could have done that. And where we're coming from is that separation that says, that, I mean, that's really scary. That's dangerous. But what that person, that hero was doing was exactly the experience that you just described. Completely present with life unfolding, listening to the wisdom of life to guide the action, no separate conversation going on, no second guessing and naysaying, just right there. They do what they do, uh-huh. and all of us look at it and go, wow. But we can all live from there all the time.
Right. And it was just so exciting to have heard her Ashwini say that yesterday and think, oh, well, I could do that. And we can.
And then do it. And then you do it. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Oh, well, just thank you
That's
so much.
Beautiful.
I don't probably think I have time for the question. Maybe I'll call another day and ask that one. But
all right.
I just
call me on Tuesday night or whenever. That'd be great. Thank you
yeah,
so
this is
much.
A Tuesday question. Thank you so much,
okay.
too.
All right.
Okay.
Have fun
Bye-bye.
Today.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Carol. Oh, you know, Sherry, the first thought that came to my mind when Carol started to talk was that thing about heroes. There's such heroism in that
to
what you were talking about, I think, on the Tuesday show with the last caller, that we recognize that someone is talking about an experience that we haven't had. And then the conditioned
mm-hmm.
perspective is to say, oh, woe is me, I have not had that experience and I'm stuck in this experience forever. But the heroic place mm-hmm. is, I haven't had that experience, I'm going to go for it. And to go
yes.
for it and to have that experience
yeah.
and prove to ourselves that can we don't have to be controlled by the limits of ego. It's so heroic. Just so moving. And
yes,
I love
you chill, doesn't it?
Yeah, it truly does. It's the same perspective as watching someone go into that building, right? Here's
yeah.
someone who did that, who did what is possible for everybody, and it's so extraordinary that someone actually does it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Takes us right back to the Buddha.
Right? Takes
it's
us right
so
back to the
extraordinary.
Buddha.
Yeah, that somebody would realize that something else is possible, and then go for it.
Mm-hmm. And one more comment
before
our next assignment. I love what you said, and you and Karen were saying, that the mental sheath is the what and the wisdom sheath
mm-hmm.
is the how. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's another way to think about Project Joy, the not what but how. Like in the how,
mm-hmm.
we're in a different place.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a whole different reality. And I know we gotta move on, so thank you. Yes. Yes.
So our assignment for today is whether you think it's perfect, it's the perfect segue. Whether you think that you can or that you can't, you are usually right. Henry Ford.
yeah. So I think it's Landmark Forum that gets the credit for this, an old S thing. How you say it is how it is.
Yeah. What you practice
or
is what you have.
What you practice is what you have is our way of saying it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the assignment mm-hmm. is today, let yourself become aware of one thing conditioning says you can't do that you're now open to doing. Take one tiny
mm-hmm.
action step toward doing that thing and RL what you notice.
Yeah. And I think the word you used was tiny.
Yes, tiny.
Yes. Yeah. Because it's a process. Right? We don't have to let ego say, okay, well, there's this giant what in your life, and so now you have to take that on. No, tiny.
Yes.
It's a process.
Yes. Well, and also,
mm-hmm.
of course, right, that if we're listening to conditioned mind, it often wants us to do something that's not good for us and frames that as that which we need to move towards. And so it's an interesting process exercise to calibrate to, what is the barrier of ego that we want to go up against in a tiny way, not a barrier to life, right? I mean, a barrier to life,
yes.
not a, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Mm.
So.
Yeah, one little thing. I go back to Scott and I don't like olives.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then
yes,
going really, really. How do I? I'm not sure about. How do I know that? taste an olive. Oh, that's really good. Yeah.
Yes.
So there's a, you know, a simple example of it's not it's something you can't do, something ego says you don't want to do, it's something you don't like, it's a, but you haven't actually been present for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're present for it, we have a direct, go ahead.
No, no, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Direct experience.
No. Yes, that's where I was going. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We get to have a direct experience, and the direct experience is going to take us back to what we've talked about with the folks about the assignment yesterday. That's it. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a direct experience of being here in life rather than in a story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to me, things as simple as I recognize I'm saying I don't have time to get a drink of water before I head out of the door. Well, let me drink the water before I head out of the door. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, let me see if that's true. Oh, huh, I drank the water. I feel good. And nobody died. Right?
Nothing
horrible happened. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it is that heroic stance, isn't it? It's that, let's see. You know, show me what you got. Really? Something awful's going to happen if I drink that water? By golly, I'm just going to drink that water and watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we get to prove whatever it was. I don't have time to drink that water because I'm going to be late for the appointment, and the appointment is important because I don't know what. And everything is fine. In other words, we prove to ourselves that the conditional, the implicit bad thing that's going to happen does not actually happen. And if it did, we're perfectly adequate to it happening.
Yeah. If somebody yells, why were you 30 seconds late? We can say, well, I was drinking a glass of water. It's going to be fine.
Okay, Sherry, that brings us to the end of another wonderful show, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Those heroes, I can just feel all of us heroes going out there to face down that conversation, pick what it is that we're going to do, have the fun of letting go of an old tired belief and stepping into the moment. Oh, it's going to be it's an exciting day.
It is.
Thank you, Ashwini.
You too. Take care, Sherry. Talk to you
Thank
soon.
You, everybody.